Good to see you here this morning as we worship God together on this Trinity Sunday. I invite you to join us in our gathering hymn number 10 in your hymnal, and it's also printed in your order of worship. Let's stand together. Be seated. We are glad that you're here today, and we welcome you as we gather to worship God here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. There, we also welcome those that are joining us by radio or on the internet. We're grateful for your presence with us and pray it'll be a blessing to you as we worship God together. There are a number of things I'd like to call your attention. First of all, to all of our fathers, happy Father's Day, and we hope that it'll be a good day for you. Remember that our regular youth group, kids club, and Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study are taking a break until August, but choir will meet at 6 Wednesday evening for rehearsal. Food Bank of the Albemarle will be here this Tuesday, and we do need volunteers, and please arrive by 1:30, and we do appreciate so much all those who are so faithful to come and help us with that food distribution, which is so important. We do now have a nursery available every Sunday for children under the age of 5. If you need assistance, then any usher can help you get there. And if you'd like to volunteer to help with the nursery, please see Francis Cole. And we're continuing to receive applications for our two college scholarships. The information's in the bulletin about that, and there are also a number of memorial gifts in the bulletin. And today's flowers are given by Sarah Davis on this Trinity Sunday, to the glory of the Holy Trinity, and we thank you for that. We have come together to worship God this morning, and as we do, I invite you to join in our call to worship from Psalm 8. If you'll join in on the bold print as it's printed in your order of worship. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you're mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. And yet you've made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You've given them dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And let us pray. Holy God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth, and draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you together now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 1, Holy, Holy, Holy. Thank you. Now let's have the children come for the children's sermon.
Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the giant fish. Mary spent 3 months with Elizabeth after they learned of each other's pregnancies. The Magi gave, notice I did not say the three Magi because the three wise men is actually a myth. We don't know how many there were, but we do know that there were three gifts given, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus' earthly ministry was 3 years. The great commandment is to love God with your soul, heart, and mind. Three parts of our body. Jesus took 3 disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain for the transfiguration, which was 3 parts. The law, Moses, the prophet Elijah, and the word, Jesus. Jesus prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Pilate tried to release Jesus 3 times. Jesus was placed on the cross on the 3rd hour. Darkness covered the earth for 3 hours while Jesus suffered on the cross. Jesus was raised from the grave after 3 days. Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep 3 times. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about 3 things, faith, hope, and love. So today we see that the word 3, or the number 3, shows up in the Bible over and over and over again. And the most important part of that is today, Trinity Sunday, which represents God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I got 1 more 3 for you. Our church's motto has 3 sentences in it. Do you know what our church's motto is?
No.
Love God, follow Jesus, and serve others. So the number 3 is very important, and we want to remember that anytime we think about church. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Today's Episcopal lesson is from Genesis chapter 1, 26, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Now let's make humans who will be like us. They will rule over all the fish in the sea and all the birds of the air. They will rule over the large animals and all the little things that crawl on the earth." So God created humans in his own image. He created them to be like himself. He created them male and female. God blessed them and said, "Have many children, fill the earth and take control of it. Rule over all the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, rule over every living thing that moves on earth." God said, I'm giving you grain-bearing plants and all the fruit of the trees. These trees make fruit with seeds in it. This grain and fruit will be your food. And I am giving the green plants to the animals. These green plants will be their food. Every animal on earth, every bird in the air, all the little things that crawl on earth will eat that food. And these things happened. God looked at everything he had made, and he saw that everything was very good and was evening. And there was evening, and there was morning. This was the sixth day.
The gospel lesson this morning comes from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
You may be seated. We come now to our prayer time, and we have a Thanksgiving. Larry Presnell is improving and doing much better, and we are grateful for that. Another prayer and Thanksgiving. We've been praying for Judy Clark as she was recovering from a fall, and she's able to be with us today, and so we are grateful for that as well. But we also need to continue to remember Genevieve and Chris Broadhead, and also Randy and Cindy Copeland, Mariana Cotton, and Gary Brett. And of course, there is a lot that is going on in our world with the unrest in the Middle East and wars in various places, and a lot going on in our country as well. And so we want to remember these concerns as well as we pray. So let's pray together now. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them, with the host of heaven and the saints gone before us, we worship you. We join with the cherubim and seraphim as they cry out continually, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We lift our voices with the 24 elders around your throne as they cast their crowns before you, and praise you, saying, You're worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And Lord, we add our voices to the countless residents of heaven, as they say with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Indeed, Lord, may we worship you in spirit and in truth, as every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea join together in that glorious refrain, To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Gracious triune God, we do praise you and we do thank you for how you have revealed yourself to us and for all that you have done for us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we come to offer our petitions and our intercessions to you, Lord. Father, we We are living in a world that is filled with unrest and injustice and war, and we pray for peace and justice in the world. Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world and your church here in Murfreesboro, that you would help us, and Father, that you would work through us to reach those around us. Father, we pray that in the difficult places where your church exists and is bearing witness, and oftentimes under persecution, we pray your grace and your help. And Lord, for us here, where the challenges are different, we ask your grace and your help and your power. Lord, we pray for our country, for our state, for our town, for our civil leaders at all levels. We pray that you would help us in this day. And Lord, that during this time where there is so much polarization, that you would bring reconciliation and you would bring peace in our land. Lord, on this Father's Day, we pray for fathers and for their families. We know that being a father is a challenging job. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the fathers among us, those whose children are already grown, and Lord, those who are bringing up little children even now. Lord, watch over them and strengthen them for their task. Lord, we know we have many of our congregation who are traveling, who are away. We ask you would watch over them. We know, Father, that we have many who are facing health challenges, whether they're chronic challenges or whether it's something that has just recently arisen. We pray for each one dealing with those things, Lord. And we thank you for those where you've answered our prayers and they are improving and doing much better. Continue to bless them, Father, and to bring healing where that can be your will. Lord, for those who are grieving, we ask your help. For those, Father, who are suffering from wars and natural disasters, we pray you would bless them and minister to their needs. Lord, for those who are suffering other kinds of needs, spiritual, emotional, mental needs, we pray your mercy and grace for them. And Lord, we do pray for those who, though they know you, have backslidden and are not following you. We pray you would draw them back into fellowship with you and with your church. And Lord, for those who don't yet know you, that you would work in their hearts to turn them to you, and that you would help us to bear a faithful, winsome witness to them. And so now, Lord, as we continue in this time of worship, we pray that you would make your presence known to us in a very powerful and special way, and that your name would be honored and glorified among us, and that your church would be built up, O Lord. And so now, may all glory be to you, O God, as we pray in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 645, Faith of Our Fathers, 645.
Inside of
Let's pray. Triune God, as the Father, you gave your only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. As the Son, you gave your life for us on the cross and rose from the dead in victory so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And as the Holy Spirit, you've given us new birth, and you empower us to live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ on mission with him as his church. What we give to you pales in comparison. May we now give our humble offerings in willing obedience and out of deep gratitude for all you've given us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Our text this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. And there the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Let's pray. O Lord, speak to our hearts now as we look into your word. Remind us, Father, of the magnificence of who you are, and the amazing things that you have done for us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think I'll ever forget it. It was at the church that I was serving as full-time pastor while a seminary student, and it was during vacation Bible school. There was a boy there, about 10 years old, and his family only occasionally attended church, so he didn't have a lot of background and understanding, but he came to talk with me during vacation Bible school about becoming a Christian. And as we talked, I referred to Jesus as God's Son. And then a little later on in the conversation, I said something about Jesus being God, and he stopped me right there. He said, "Wait a minute. If Jesus is God's Son, how can he be God?" Have you ever tried to explain the Trinity to a 10-year-old? Most of the time we ask that question a different way. People say, "Well, if God is one, then how can he be three? How can Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be one God? How is the one God a Trinity?" Well, today is Trinity Sunday on the Christian calendar. We think about the Trinity all year long. You often hear me refer to the Trinity, and every Sunday in our worship, we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sing the Gloria Patri. We sing the doxology, referring to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is central to our faith. But on Trinity Sunday, we focus on this wonderful doctrine in a special way. Now, when you think about it, this idea of the Holy Trinity is what distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. There is some agreement in many religions about many different things, but every other religion parts way with Christianity when we insist that God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and rise from the dead and ascend back to the Father exalted to save us from our sins, and that now the Father and the Son are present with us and among us as the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us as believers and among us as a church. Now, you won't find the word Trinity in the Bible. And the doctrine of the Trinity is not fully formulated in the Bible. But as I've said before, the makings of it are all over the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Now, the full formulation of the doctrine of the Trinity came in the 4th century. There was a minister named Arius who began teaching that Jesus Christ was not quite fully God, that He was not eternal with the Father. The way that he put it was, there was a time when He was not. And that rather than being begotten of the Father, that Jesus was created by the Father, that the Son was created by the Father. Well, it was causing a great deal of controversy. And in the Eastern Church, Arius's teachings spread rapidly. So in AD 325... 1,700 years ago this year, Emperor Constantine, who had embraced Christianity, convened the historic Council of Nicaea to settle this issue. Christian bishops from all over the empire came together and reflected theologically on Scripture and Christian experience, and as they did, they produced the basic form of the ancient confession of faith known as the Nicene Creed, because it came out of the council at Nicaea. And if you noticed the tune to Holy, 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 what was it? Nicaea. Very, very appropriate, I think. Well, this creed that they, this confession, this creed that they developed, in its basic form, it expressed Trinitarian Christianity, the classic understanding, the classic expression of Orthodox Trinitarian Christianity. And in its original form, it read this way: We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten of the Father, the only begotten, that is, of the essence of the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, both in heaven and on earth, who for us men and our salvation came down and was incarnate and was made man. He suffered, and the third day He rose again, ascended into heaven, from thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead, and in the Holy Ghost. But those who say there was a time when He was not, and he was not before He was made, and He was made out of nothing, or He is of another substance or essence, or the Son of God is created or changeable or alterable, they are condemned by the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And that Catholic is with a little c, expressing the universal church throughout the world. But there was another important confession of faith, an ancient confession of faith that's commonly known as the Apostles' Creed. It's often used with baptism. We used it a few months ago with a baptism. Well, neither confession uses the word Trinity, but both follow that Trinitarian pattern that was expressed in Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so these confessions are structured about God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A Trinitarian structure to them. And that creed that was adopted at the Council of Nicaea was later expanded to its present form at the First Council of Constantinople in AD 381 to reinforce the Trinitarian emphases present in the original form. Now, there were other expressions as well, and I won't get into those, but all of this can seem sort of academic and sterile, can't it, when we talk like this? It can sound like a theological construct. But I want to say to you this morning that when you think about it carefully, it makes all the difference in the world from a practical standpoint. When we look at the relationships within the Trinity, we see a model for our relationship with God and our relationships with one another as followers of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters within God's family. Now, this text that we're looking at this morning is one of many places in the New Testament where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or at least two of the three, are present together. And so it's a good place for us to be looking this morning. It comes at the very end of what we know as Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Now, I don't have time to get into all this, but Paul's correspondence with the Corinthians was lengthy. There were several different letters. There were actually at least four letters between Paul and the Corinthians. And they were centered on division that was going on in the church at Corinth. Paul's been addressing those divisions that were present among them and the various manifestations of that disunity that they were experiencing. In 2 Corinthians, there has been some resolution to this conflict that this problem has produced between Paul and the congregation. And so now, as Paul is bringing this second letter to a close, he wants to drive home once more the vital necessity of unity in the body of Christ. So as he bids them farewell in the closing of the letter, he tells them, and I like the way the Revised Standard Version translates it, he tells them, "Mend your ways, heed my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Now think about that a little bit. Paul tells them there to mend their ways. And they had a lot to mend, especially in their relationships with one another, and especially in their relationships with Paul and his ministry associates. There was a lot to mend. And then he urges them to listen to his appeal for unity, because throughout 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he has been appealing for them to leave behind these divisions and to be one in Christ. He tells them to have the same mind, to agree with one another. The Greek word here refers to having the same mind. It's not necessarily talking about having the exact same opinion on everything, but it's having an agreeable spirit, the kind of spirit that Christ had, the kind of attitude that Christ wants us to have, that even when our opinion may differ, we act in agreeable ways. And then, if they would mend their ways, listen to his appeal, and have an agreeable spirit, the next thing would naturally follow. They would live in peace with one another. And when they were living in peace with one another, the God of love and peace would be with them. Now, those are some pretty good instructions about relationships, aren't they? And then he turns back to their relationships with their fellow saints. He says they were to greet one another with a holy kiss. That was the common greeting in Paul's day. And in much of the Mediterranean Arab worlds today, you've probably seen it on the news. When two leaders are meeting, they'll kiss each other on the cheek. That was just there. It was the cultural equivalent of our handshake. But Paul says a holy kiss. There was a spiritual significance to it when Christians greeted one another in this way. And Paul follows that instruction by giving them greetings from all the saints, those God had set apart for himself in the different churches throughout the world. And then, finally, Paul closes with that beautiful benediction in verse 13. A benediction that's grounded in the divine relationships that exist within the Godhead, the Holy Trinity. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. That's the way the New Revised Standard translates it. We're from the South. Let's say, be with you all. Okay? Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful benediction. God's grace is expressed through His Son, Jesus Christ. It was the Father's love that moved Him to give His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. And those who put their trust in Him live and experience the communion of the Holy Spirit, fellowship with God and fellowship with one another as His children. Now, looking at what Paul has said here, what's the common denominator of it all? What's it all about? Isn't it relationship? Relationship? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in relationship with one another and with us. He is one God who exists and has revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through relationships, both within His own being and with us as His creatures. In other words, the relationships within the Trinity are the model for community within the church. In His very essence, God is about relationship. He shows us how to be in relationship with one another, a relationship that's characterized by grace, love, and communion. Can you fathom that? The God who created the universe, who brought all things into being, who rules over all, the God who has revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one in three and three in one, this God invites us into a relationship with Him, and His love and grace make it possible for us to experience it. We can't explain Him, but we can experience Him through the Father's love, the Son's grace, and the Spirit's communion. And though we can't understand everything about Him, we can know Him, and though we can't figure Him out, we can put our faith in Him. And so let's trust and celebrate the Holy Trinity today. Our loving Heavenly Father, who has shown us grace through His only begotten Son and brought us into communion with Him and with one another through His Holy Spirit. Amen. The Nicene Creed has been accepted throughout Christianity as a classic expression of our Trinitarian faith. And I think on this Trinity Sunday, it would be most appropriate for us to share it together this morning. So it's on the insert in your bulletin. I invite you to join me as we confess our faith in our triune God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen. We share in communion with God and with one another. One of the names that we have for the Lord's Supper is Holy Communion. Because as we share in this simple meal of bread and fruit of the vine, we are communing with Christ and with one another as His people. We partake of what Christ has done for us in faith. Though the bread and the cup are still bread and juice, when we partake in faith, we're partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're sharing in Him. And we're reminded by Paul that because we share in the one bread, that we are one body in Christ. That we are communing with one another. And so our Lord invites all those who are His followers to come and share in Holy Communion this morning. Let's take a moment of quiet meditation as we reflect on this wonderful, wonderful teaching of our communion with Christ. Father, as we come now to our Lord's table, remind us that He is our host, that this is His table, and that He invites us to it. Lord, remind us of the great sweep of salvation history, of how You worked down through the ages to prepare the way to send Your Son, that He might give His life for us, that He might take it up again in His resurrection, winning the victory over sin and death in the grave, setting us free from our sin, forgiving us and making us whole. Lord, as we share in this Holy Communion today, may we truly experience the presence of Your Spirit. May we truly experience our fellowship together as Your people. And Father, may Your Spirit move in our hearts to draw us closer to You. And so, Lord, as we remember how our triune God is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, as we remember how Christ has given Himself on the cross for us and taken His life up again, we give You thanks. And we praise You and honor and glorify You through Christ our Lord. Hear us now, Father, as we offer our prayers in the words of that prayer that He taught us. Praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That night, as He was eating with His disciples before His death the next day, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples. Thank you. said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." Afterward, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, told them, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my cup of the new covenant, which is pouring out for you." He said, "As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Paul reminds us that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Because we're not just remembering Christ's death, we remember also that he is our risen Lord who will return in glory. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 6. And as we sing, if there are commitments that you need to share, we invite you to come and do so. Number 6. Thank you. this morning. Let's pray together. And so, Lord, for what we have shared in today, we give you thanks. We pray, Father, that you will strengthen us as we have shared in Holy Communion for our journey with you. Remind us, Father, constantly of how, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have loved us, shown us your grace, and given us communion with you. Sustain us day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.